The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
In James chapter 3 and in verse 5, the Bible says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a," watch, it says right here, "a matter a little fire kindleth." James chapter 3 and in verse 6, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and set on fire," it says, "the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Now, notice this. When the Bible talks about that tongue is just a little thing. But have you known people before that's been hurt by somebody's tongue? Have you known the tongue before to be able to boasteth great things, as the Bible says? Have you noticed that the tongue can be a tongue of blessing or could be a tongue of curse? Have you noticed that the tongue cannot be controlled by the human hand, but rather underneath that which is the power of God only? So there is little things that happens in our bodies and little things that our bodies does use. Little things, if you will, please, that causes pain or blessing. By the way, just a little pinky here, a little finger. You take that, you twist it backwards, or you break it, or you cut it off, your whole body's going to feel the pain. And so it is with that which is a hurt. But may I also say that God uses little things to be blessings. I don't know who it was, but I do want to thank you publicly. My wife pulled up in a gas station today, and I don't know who you were. She didn't share that with me yet, and she will, but did say that a member pulled up right behind her today and got out, filled the tank up with gas, and then paid for it. Can I tell you, things like that are blessings. And you know, when we step out and we do things, so many times I have gone to gas stations and I'm a coffee drinker and I like coffee and I'll probably drink coffee to the day I die not that it will cause me death, but till the day I die. And there's been times when I've gone into a gas station and of course I know the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And so I would say I filled my gas tank up. And so I like to get a free cup of coffee since I gave you so much money at that gas tank. And oftentimes, more than not, they'll say, "Oh, you go right ahead." You know, and what is that? That's just a blessing. That's just a blessing. I walked into a gas station one night real late, and I was driving, and I said, "Boy, I sure do need that coffee." And she says, "You sure do." I didn't have to take that. But she says, "I like to be a blessing." She used the word blessing and gave me the cup of coffee. You know, isn't it neat to be able to be a blessing to people? Now, let's talk about tonight, how is it that God uses small things to be able to bring big blessings? How is it that we can be able to have confidence in God because of the little things that God uses in our life? When your child walks up to you and says, "Dad, Mom, just want to say, you're a blessing. Thank you for being Dad. Thank you for being Mom." Can I tell you, you ought to thank God for that. When all of a sudden your child cleans the room and they're not told to clean the room and they do it all by themselves, you ought to thank God for that. When your husband, being the miracle as it is, remembers your birthday, you ought to thank God for that. If there's a gift involved, you ought to shout hallelujah for that. When all of a sudden there's an anniversary that rolls around, can I tell you, you ought to thank God if somebody remembers that. Listen, there are little things that we can do inside of people's lives, such as sending texts, like we mentioned Mrs. Castillo in the hospital there, and Brother Davis, of course, in the hospital. You know, there's ways to be able to be a blessing to people, and you don't have to be lengthy, and you don't have to be wordy. You can just shoot somebody a brief text on their birthday, saying happy birthday, or on an anniversary, happy anniversary, or you could remember somebody that's ill and just shoot them a text saying, "I'm praying for you." Maybe just thinking about somebody during the day and just saying, I sure appreciate you. Those little things inside of our lives is what really matters. Now, let me give you a couple things on becoming confident through little things. Statement number one, you remember Moses, if you will, in the rod that was so small. Remember Moses? He had that rod that was very, very small. The Bible says over in the book of Exodus, chapter 4, and in verse 1, the Bible says, and Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. And they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 4 and in verse 2, that the Lord said unto him, what is it in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Now that's all he had. He just had a rod in his hand. Exodus chapter 4 and in verse 3, the Bible says that he was told to cast it on the ground. And when he cast it on the ground, it became a serpent. And the Bible says, and Moses fled from it. Well, you think about that, if you will. If you had a stick and you threw it on the ground, and all of a sudden it became a live serpent. Let's say a snake. It became a live serpent. What would you do? Would you go over and say, oh, come here. You wouldn't do that. You'd probably flee just like Moses. And by the way, do you know that Moses had a habit of fleeing? You have to be careful that you do not always follow the pattern if it's not a good pattern. Remember when Moses was walking beside the burning bush? You remember that? All of a sudden, he's getting closer to the burning bush, and out of the burning bush, he heard his name. At the burning bush, God used and called his name, Moses. Didn't call it one time. Caught it two times. Why do you think that God had to call it two times? Because I think he was already on the run after the first time. So he had to call him back again. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here in Moses' life, many times I think Moses would quake about some things. And you remember when the children of Israel would cry out and they would be against God. He would always, in a good way, quaking towards God. And he would always run to God. So many, many times you see him running, but you see him most often, more than not, running the right direction. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 3, and he said, cast it on the ground. And the Bible says, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says that the Lord said unto Moses, put forth, it says, thine hand, and take it by the tail. Now, by the way, if your daddy told you to do that, you might not want to do that. If your mama told you to do that, you might not want to do that. But when God tells you to do something, can I tell you, it's going to be okay. So he stretched forth his hand and he caught it. By the way, Exodus chapter 7, about that rod again. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 20, the Bible says this, that he took that rod and he lifted it up and he smote the waters that were there at the river in the sight, and I love this, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of the servants, and all the waters that were in the river turned to blood. Now, he did that in the sight of the heathen. You know, God can use little things in your life to be a testimony of God's greatness. Can I ask you something tonight? Are you giving God your little things? You say, but preacher, I've just got a little talent. But are you giving God your little things? But preacher, I've just got a little money. But are you giving God your little things? But preacher, you don't understand. I'm not able to do mighty things for God. But are you giving God your little things? Now, the Bible says here in Exodus chapter 14 about that rod again. In verse 16, the Bible says, it says, and stretched, it says, out thine hand, it says, over the sea and divided it. And the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Just a little rod, but he used it. How did he use it? He used it to be able to be a mighty blessing to God's people, to protect God's people, and to lead God's people to safety. What is it tonight that you've got that is something little in your life that God could use? Over in Exodus chapter 17, verses 6 through 7, the Bible says, behold, I stand before thee, it says, and it says, upon the rock of Horeb, it says, thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall water come out of it. And Moses did in the sight of the elders of Israel. So there's not just lost people that need to see you giving your little things to God, but there is saved people that need to see you giving your little things to God. You might say it's not much, but if you give God just a little bit more time, would somebody see it? It's not much, preacher, but if you give God just a little bit more of your finances, will somebody see it? It's not much, preacher, but if you give God just a little bit more of your talent, will God be able to use that to be able to bless that? So Moses had a little rod. Let's talk about David. David just had a couple of smooth, small stones. You'd be amazed how God uses the little things. There was a time that David was summoned, if you will, to go give that which was food to his brothers. And he goes up to the valley and he looks down in the valley and here's this ugly giant by the name of Goliath. He looks at his brothers and he looks down there at that ugly mug of a giant. He looks at his brothers and he's wondering, why aren't you out there taking him down? Then he asked his brothers in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29, is there not a cause? Now you have to understand that David had a cause in his life, and it did not matter how big the giant was. It did not matter what was on the other side getting ready to possibly even kill him. But David decided, look, I don't have much, but I've got just a small few little stones. Hey, what do you have that's little that God could use? What do you have that's little that God could use? Here's what we look at. We look at the big things and we say, wow. We look at the Empire State Building and we say, wow. Years ago, when we were in Brooklyn, New York, one of the things that was our job is we were to tour people through the city as they bring their juniors and seniors out, and everybody wanted to see the Twin Towers. You could stand on top of the Twin Towers, and it could move with the wind. They were that flexible. And you could see all over the city. And it was a tremendous thing to be able to take people to the top of the Twin Towers, to be able to view all the city that was surrounding it. But they wanted to see the big things. You know, they wanted to be able to go over and visit the big parks. By the way, when the thing that amazed me when I took this trip down there to be able to participate in the wedding, and the thing that amazed our family is the fact of there was Pike's Peak. I mean, you looked at it and it looked back. And it was real. And it was a big thing. We like to talk about the big things like Old Faithful and the Grand Canyon or the Royal Gorge. Or maybe we like to talk about other big things like Lookout Mountain and other big things that's in our life. You know why? Because it's the big things that get the attention. It's the big things that your child does wrong that gets the attention. It's the big things that the wife does wrong or the husband does wrong that gets the attention. And by the way, it's the big things that those that I just mentioned that does right that gets the attention. But don't you thank God that somebody makes the bed? Don't you thank God that somebody washes the socks? Don't you thank God that somebody changes the light inside of that which is the closet door? Don't you thank God that somebody was thoughtful enough to rubber band the tracks so that you can take a pack and you know how many's in them? Don't you thank God that somebody straightens up the hymn books? Don't you thank God somebody picks up the paper? Don't you thank God somebody mows the lawn? Don't you thank God somebody works in the nursery? Don't you thank God that somebody helps your children to be able to memorize scripture? Don't you thank God we've got a Christian school? Don't you thank God we have a Bible college? Don't you thank God we have an old-fashioned fundamental Baptist church? Don't you thank God that God is good? I'm saying it's those little things that's important too. Moses and his rod, David and his small stones. The Bible says here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45, the Bible says, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. Wait a minute. The Bible says here, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 51, the Bible says, therefore, David ran and he stood, says, upon the Philistine, and he took his sword and he drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And it says, when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. How did David kill that big, old, nasty-looking man called Goliath? Just some small stones. Remember, Saul came to him and tried to convince him to wear his armor. David couldn't wear his armor. You know why? Wasn't fit for him. By the way, it's a blessed day in your life when you stop trying to be somebody else. Let God use you for who you are. Oh, but you don't understand, preacher. If I was like so-and-so, God could use me better. Says who? Well, if I could preach like so-and-so, if I could teach like so-and-so, if I could sing like so-and-so, if I could be as educated as so-and-so, if I could take and stand like so-and-so, if I could learn how to take money and use money and turn it into more riches like so-and-so. Hey, why don't you thank God tonight that God made you? You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God did not make a mistake when he made you. See, it's not about you having confidence in you. It's about you having confidence in the Creator who made you. Amen. Well, you know, I just feel so insignificant. That's great. That's who God's looking for. But you don't understand, preacher. I just feel so small. That's great. God's not looking for somebody puffed up. God's not looking for somebody, well, look what I did. God's looking for somebody that will yield himself or herself and just decide you're going to be empty of self and full of God and let God be the one that will work in your life. I'm saying tonight that Moses had a small rod, but God used it. David had some small stones, but God used it. There's the widow woman that simply had a handful of meal and a little oil to sustain the prophet Elijah, herself and her son, but God used it. See, God can use the little things in her life. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, now by the way, God is telling this man of God, to go down, if you will, please, to Zareth. And there, he's supposed to be dwelling there, and there's going to be a widow woman that's going to come and sustain him. Well, how can a widow woman sustain such a man? I often look out upon our congregation. I think, how in the world? I know what our budget is. How in the world do we meet our budget? Yet God uses us as we give our little bit here, and our little bit here, and our little bit here, and our little bit here. As we unselfishly connect from what we want to do and connect up to a holy God and decide we're going to do what he wants us to do, God not only meets the need, but God blesses the children who do it. Amen. Do you realize for every single thing I'm saying tonight, Moses had the blessing of being used of God, God through Moses, and Moses got blessed by God for being yielded. And God does that in our lives. Moses and his rod, David and his stones, the little widow woman with a handful of meal and a little oil, if you would please, to be able to sustain that man of God, herself and her son. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee. Can you imagine what she was thinking? How in the world could I do that? He's a man. He's going to eat me out of house and home. All I've got's just a little oil. All I've got's just a little meal. By the way, she even said this, I've just got enough for a day to sustain me and my son, that's it. That's it. It's going to be over. But you notice what God did? God will take that little bit that you give him. Okay, stand up. Stand up. I can take my little bit, not obey God, and use it this way. And God doesn't necessarily bless that if it's not in his will. Now, I might not understand God, stand up if you will. But if God tells me what I want you to do is receive it and give it here. Amen. Let's receive it and give it through the local church, support missions. Let's receive it, give it through the local church, run buses. Let's receive it, give it to the local church and put gospel tracts out. Let's receive it, help somebody else to come know Christ as Savior. Hey, it might not make a lot of sense to me, but I'm telling you, I'm not in charge of the thing. God's in charge of the thing. And if I step out and I obey God, God will bless me. See, I am not supposed to figure out God, and if I figure him out, then I'll obey him. That is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to obey him whether I figure him out or not. By the way, you take that same logic and you try to obey your parents that way. See how far you get with that one. So he's my son. Come here, son. And I say, now look. Your room's been in a mess. I've walked in there. It's a mess. It's not a sight for sore eyes. It is a sight that makes your eyes sore. And it is a mess. Now I want you to get in there, and I want you to clean every inch of that thing up. I want to walk in there. I want to see it, and I want to have evidence of the fact that you have changed everything, and now it looks good. You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead. And then he gets in there and starts playing around. He gets down there with his taco trucks. And he's rolling his taco trucks all around him. And he's got his army men. And he's playing with his army men. And then I come in there and I say, wait a minute, you're supposed to be doing what? Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'll do it, I promise. I'll do it as soon as you leave. Okay. I come back an hour later. He's got more Tonko trucks. He went and borrowed from the neighbors. He's got more army. Now, wait a minute. Then he comes to me later. I mean, you know, he's 20 years of age. And he comes to me later and he says, hey, Daddy, can I borrow the car? Well, what do you think I'm going to say? I'll say, look, drive your own Tonko truck. But if I can't trust him to obey the little commands, if I can't trust him to step out and do something that is something that, yes, he can do with God's grace and God's help and God's power and God's wisdom. Hey, if I can't trust him to step out and simply obey, then he's going to have a hard time getting the blessing. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. And so here's the little widow. Might not have made a lot of sense to her, but she said, that's what I'm going to do. And the Bible says, as God had commanded him, so did he trust God. See, the Bible says in verse 10, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 10, the Bible says, and he arose and went to Zarephath. The Bible says, and there it says that the widow woman was there gathering, it says, of sticks. And here she is, and he called to her and saith, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Look down in verse 13. And he said, fear not, go. And he says, and do as thou hast said. And it says, and make thee, it says, a little cake first. So he's saying, look, forget about your needs. Forget about your... And that doesn't make any sense. That almost sounds selfish. It almost sounds like he's not concerned. But he's doing what God told him to do where she could be blessed. God might be telling your parents to do something and you don't understand it. And it doesn't make any sense. But God has given him leadership so that you will get the blessing. God might be telling the preacher something, or God might be telling an instructor something. Why? And it doesn't make any sense, but God has you in his sight, and God wants to bless you. And if you'll simply give God what God asks you to do, God will bless you. Sometimes it's just the little things. Here we see that Moses and his rod, David and the small stones, the widow and a handful of meal and a little oil in the cruse. Then we see, and probably one of my favorites is the little maid that told Naaman, if you will, how to be healed. No confidence. 2 Kings chapter 5. God told her exactly what to tell this man, and she did, and God used it. Just a little maid. Then you see the widow's mite that also was very small. Over in Mark chapter 12 and verse 42, the Bible says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw two mites, says, which made a farthing. Now, by the way, that would equal 1/4 of a cent, 1/4 of a penny. That's all she had. And she threw it in, almost in embarrassment, threw it in. But God blessed her for that. Then you'll see this, and I'll give you this one and one more, but I want you to think about this tonight, and I'm done. Jesus fed the 5,000, if you will, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Very small. Can you imagine that lad? We don't know how old he was. I picture him in my own mind, though, being younger rather than older. Can you imagine that lad as he skipped along the sides of the hills? He had a lunch. He was so excited. He might have been heading to school. He might have been heading to his favorite eating place. You could tell he was a poor boy because it was barley loaves, 2 small fish, so he wasn't a very wealthy boy. But here he is skipping along, minding his own business, and I just have a peculiar suspicion it was probably Andrew that saw him. And Andrew came up to him and said, the Lord have need of your fish, have need of your loaves. And that little boy gave what he had. You never see a debate. You never see a discussion. He just gave what he had. We've had families in our church that's gone through distressful times. And can I tell you, I am so proud of many of the children in this church that when mom and daddy has a distressful time financially, they don't have to ask you to help. And I've seen this several times in several different families here that have older children at work. You just rise up and help. I know young people in this room that has helped to pay the bills so that mom and daddy doesn't lose their apartment or their trailer or their house. Just a little bit here and a little bit there, and it takes care of a need. You know, it's the little things that matter. It's the I love you before you go to bed at night. It's the little things that matter. It's the you're so special to me that I tell you, every time I think about you, I just want to squeak. You're just so special to me. Boy, it's the little things that matter. It's all of a sudden you're riding down the road and your husband is driving and all of a sudden he lays his hand in that center section and you as a loving wife just put your hand on top of his. It's the little things that matter. It's all of a sudden your husband remembers to walk around and open the door for you. It's the little things that matter. It's daddy all of a sudden driving up to a restaurant and it's raining outside and daddy looks over and says, look, y'all go ahead and get out now and go ahead and get in. It's closer here. I don't want you to get wet. No need for all of us to get wet. Then he drives a mile and a half away, parks the vehicle, runs back, soaking wet, fell in five puddles, swam through one lake, arrived in sweaty from all the work. Hey, it's the little things that matter. Preacher gets up, preach, and you look happy before he preaches. It's the little things that matter. All of a sudden, preacher's up here and says, yeah, that's what that Bible says. We're supposed to obey that Bible. And then somebody shouts, amen. Amen. It's the little things that matter. Somebody comes up to you out in the hallway and they shake your hand. You didn't even know that they realized that you were alive. They shook your hand and they smiled and they said, I'm so glad you're here. It's the little things that matter. It's going out on a bus route and it's hot, just like it is in Texas in the summertime. You go out on a bus route and you sweat as soon as you step 1 foot out the door. And you go over to a bus captain and say, hey, look, I'm here for you today. I can only go out 30 minutes, but I want to do it. I can only go out an hour, but I want to do it. Hey, I'm telling you, it's the little things that matter. I went to the Grace Baptist Church, and I like passing out tracts. Now, it's just who I am, and I've conditioned myself that way, and I just like doing it. I like it. I think every Christian should like it. So I pass out tracts everywhere I go. And I'm around Christians, and I say, hey, do you have a tract? And they'll say, well, no. I say, well, I understand. You gave them all out. But, but I like passing out tracts. So I was in a hurry, you know. We had that wedding thing to do, and Jared getting married, Debbie getting married. We're so proud of both of them. Can't wait for them to get back and hear all the wonderful stories of honeymoon and all that good stuff. And so I just grabbed tracts. I mean, you know, that's what I do. So I went and grabbed a bunch of tracts. I started passing them out everywhere I went. I went to Starbucks. I'm passing them out to people sitting there drinking their coffee. I'm passing them out. We went to McDonald's. I'm leaving them in the bathroom. And I'm passing them out to people as I'm leaving. I mean, I'm just having a wonderful time. I went over to get some shoe polish because I figured the boys might want to polish their shoes a little bit for a wedding. So I went over and I passed them out there and stuff like that. I mean, I was passing them out just like running water. Passed them out. And it was on the last day, I'd already passed out two bundles. I just kept grabbing them and passing them out. On the last day, I looked down and wow, they're Spanish tracks. For 4 days, I've been passing these out to English speaking people. I said, I'm over at Grace Baptist Church. You ought to come. And boy, it's great preaching there. They're probably looking at that saying, yeah, but I can't understand it. And I'm passing Spanish tracts out everywhere I go. Say, what'd you do? Well, it was too late now. I just pray that they learn Spanish real quick where they can get saved. But you know, it is the little things that matter. I went to the shoe store to get some shoe polish, and I gave the lady a Spanish track. I gave the lady a Spanish track. I said, hey, have you ever been to church before? And she said, well, I just moved in the area. Only been here 3 months. I said, you're who I'm looking for. She said, you're looking for me? I said, yeah, I'm looking for people that's candidates to go to church, and you are a good candidate. I said, now here's a church. And I still didn't read the track. I said, here's a church right here. She smiled at me real big. She said, well, thank you very much. Now, she'll never go there because she can't read the thing. But I'm saying she was thankful. She was just thankful that I gave her a track. You know, now I'm saying this. Here's the feeding of the 5,000. Let me give you this to illustrate, and then we get ready to shut her down. The Bible says here, if you will, that here is that which is a young man, I may say, comes along, two small fishes, and the question is asked, you know, what is that among so many? And then the Lord says in verse 10, we're in the book of John chapter 6, and in verse 10, Jesus said, make the men to sit down. There's much grass in the place, and so the men sat down and numbered about 5,000, and he took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed among the disciples. The disciples to them that sat down, and likewise the fishes as so much as they would. And then the Bible says that they were filled, and he said to the disciples, gather the remains, the Bible says, gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And watch this. This is very neat. The Bible says, therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. That was what was left over. Now, there's 12 disciples. Stay with me. Can you imagine each one of those disciples carrying back, I believe, to that poor family? Because as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I believe that here is this little lad, and he's coming back home, and he's got a surprise for mama like no man's business. Amen. And here he comes, and I can imagine him saying, come on now, hurry up. You got the bread, hurry up. Imagine him telling those 12 disciples, hurry up, come on now. Matthew, stop counting it. Stop it. Come on. Come on. You know, hey, Luke, stop evaluating it to see if it's nutritionally correct. Come on. Come on.
Come on.
Let's go over here. Peter, would you be quiet? Stop opening your mouth. Come on. Let's go. Can you imagine? And he gets those 12. I really believe this. I believe with all my heart that they took those baskets home to that boy's house because that boy is the one that gave it.
Right.
And as a man soweth, that shall he also reap, and it lines up with Bible principle. So I believe as you give your little, yes, there's blessings. You might not see them right then and there. You know, I was raised up on a farm for just a little bit in my lifetime, and we planted corn, but we had to wait until the time of reaping, until it had grown before we took it in the fields. It might take time. It might not, you might not be able. Somebody said the other day, well, I give a tithe. And it's like, I gave it now, preacher. I gave him a tithe. Come on, God. God, didn't you pay a tithe? You know, you said you'd give back, but he didn't say when he'd give back, beloved.
Right.
You know, it might be that it takes a little while. Come on. I heard about these great soul winners when I went to Bible college. Oh, I wanted to be a great soul winner. I mean, I was eager. I wanted to be a great soul winner. And so I turned my aggressiveness up. I mean, I turned it up 4 score. And I just got aggressive, and I got very, 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 no shyness. I just decided to park that in another street and pick it up when I need it, but I didn't need it right now for soul winning, so I parked it. And boy, I just turned it on. And can I tell you, as I turned it on, I didn't see many people get saved. I thought, what in the world? I'm giving it everything I've got. But then years later, I see the multitudes receiving Christ. See, you might not reap immediately. Come on. You ever get in your Bible and try and read it and get nothing out of it? You ever listen to the preacher preach and get nothing out of it? Come on. You ever so tired at night, you just wish that your wife would become that pillow? Come on. I try not to be a boring preacher. I really do. I was preaching in a church one time, and a fellow just fell out. Fell right over the pew. Started snoring here and just kept it on going down right there. You say, what was that? That was a tired man. Come on. You know, preachers are different, but may I say, you can always find something good, and every preacher's different. Amen. Every preacher. You got some preachers, and you've heard me say this before, haven't you? But you've got some preachers that will stand behind the pulpit, and that's all they do. It's right here. We have some of the speakers that come in this pulpit. That's who they are. That's it. Amen. We have other preachers that can't stand behind the pulpit. Because they can't stand the pulpit. Boy, they move around. They're jumping up and down. Come on. We have preachers that preach specifically from outlines. We have other preachers that would not know an outline if they were specifically given one. Different. We do. Some of you that's come from other churches, you know what I'm talking about. You've had a different pastor sometime in your life. Some are shouters and some are pouters. Some come up with all the sad stories and they tell you everything that's sad had ever happened all that week. And you feel like, whoa. By the time you leave, you're like, man, I need to go run somewhere or something. You know? And then you've got others that, man, I'll tell you what, they're happy. They get up. They're joke tellers. Right in the middle of a serious sermon, they can tell a joke half a mile long and get 2 miles of laughs. I mean, they're just right there. You know, everybody's different. That's what I love about using these guys up here to be able to preach in my stead many times when I go off. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I want you to get to know them. You don't have a selfish pastor. I want you to get to know them. I want you to get to love them. I want you, look, I'm confident in my calling. They're confident in their calling. And we're confident in Christ. And so I want you to get to know them and give them a part of your heart and trust them in the ministry that God has called them to. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that Jesus was the one that used the loaves to feed 5,000 in the fish. And let me give you this. There was a time that Jesus was little in the world's sight. There was a time when Jesus was little in the world's sight. But as he hung on that cross, and he uttered those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can't tell me he didn't feel alone. You can't tell me as he looked over there and he said to the crowd, to the crowd that he had forgiven them. And then he said, very lastly, it is finished. And when he could have called, the Bible talks about numerically, if you want to know specifically, 72,000 angels could have came at his beckoning call right there. They were just waiting to be called. But when he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do, do you understand? He is speaking as God the Father because he knows that which is human man. Do you understand that? Do you understand that he could have called but chose not to but gave himself for you and I? Now, because of that, I can be full confident that he can use little me. I can be full confident that he can use little you. See, you don't have to be somebody great in God's sight to be used. You've just got to be willing. And if you're willing to be used of God, God can take the little things, multiply it, bless, because you gave it to him. Here's my question. What little things do you have in your life that God could use? What little things do you have in your life? Oh, but preacher, this is just something little. Little is much when God is in it. Why don't you give God your little you, your little things, and let God use it. You know, I've seen people that are short, thin, be greatly used of God. Seen it. I've seen uneducated people cannot read very well be greatly used of God. I've seen it. I've seen people that has sub-zero personalities. I mean, you know, they just walk around and you have to realize they're breathing to realize they exist. And God uses them in such a powerful way that it makes all those people that have these great personalities feel like, why'd you leave me out? Because God uses the little things. Let God use you. Word, deed, testimony, track, loving, praying, encouraging, helping, strengthening. Let God use you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.